Good morning, everybody. It's Helen Taylor here and welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday from 11 till 12 for conversations and stories to inspire you. That's my goal. Why am I doing it? Why did I start this show? Well, I just wasn't happy with the world out there. So I started creating my own world. Pretty big endeavour, really, but a lovely endeavour, I must say. I started living life the way that I wanted to, and over the past 3 years, I was actually called upon to do some public speaking. And while I was speaking to this community and to action groups around here in the eastern suburbs, I met hundreds of people who also wanted the same thing as me. They wanted something different. They wanted something better. And they wanted to hear my stories because they wanted to hear what I had done, because it kind of just gives us ideas, doesn't it, as to, well, if we're going to create a better world, how are we going to do it? They were all looking for a bit of encouragement and a bit of inspiration, and they were all looking for what I was looking for, which was how to live a fulfilling and satisfying life, because the bottom line is we really all deserve to be happy and healthy, right? So over those past 3 years, I also started to broaden my horizons, and I discovered that there's actually hundreds of thousands of other people making the same sorts of changes. I just started finding them piece by piece. They're here in Australia, and they're here actually out there in the whole, in the world itself, right? So we're all starting to find each other, I think. We're all starting to connect with each other. But for me, let's start local, because it all starts local, because it all starts with you. I want to talk to people who are making better lives for themselves, and I want them to share their stories, because if there's something that we need much, much more of in this world, it's got to be love. It's got to be love. So let's start a good conversation here on Inspired Radio. And today we're going to meet someone who is living in a better world, one that he's created himself. I've got Abraham Lee with me. Welcome, Abraham. It's really good to have you here.
Good morning, Helen. Thank you for inviting us. I'm pleased to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. Abraham, where are we going to start today? You and I have had many conversations.
Well, the theme that you raised with me was, what is wisdom? And I would like to relate something that I spoke to you about earlier, in an earlier conversation, about what my father said to me when I was around about 20 or so. And he made the statement that when I was 17, I couldn't believe how ignorant my father was. And by the time I turned 21, I couldn't believe how much he'd learned in such a few years. And that statement alone stimulates a lot of thought about the whole situation. Where's the young man at when he turns 21? And where was he at when he was 17? And in that context, I believe that wisdom is... is something that it's got a different measure for your different perspectives wherever you are, and along the way I see that there's wisdom in young children that do simple things, and some of it is in simple things, which reactions to different things, like, for example, if they touch something that's hot, they won't do it again. Or if a dog barks, the noise will actually upset them. And they think, well, that's something to keep away from. And it depends on the dog as well. But they'll learn different things along the way. Wisdom, in fact, is defined as the use of your knowledge to actually navigate your way through life.
Well, what I hear you saying is that wisdom is experience.
And experience, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So why does that fit into, you said you sort of brought this up because of what I was saying about wanting a better life. What's wisdom got to do with that?
everything, well, I think wisdom is relative, and the different perspective you have on it, it's like you were talking about, for example, the many hundreds of thousands of people that have been, I was going to say thrown into, but who were already in a world which they didn't really know.
And what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I was talking in respect to the last 5 years that we've just been going through.
Oh, right. Okay, everybody out there probably relates to the last 4 or 5 years. We've gone through a lot of stuff, haven't we?
Well, a lot of people, I would suggest, have been awakened by the prodding of different political... That's definitely the politics are in it, but the there is there's a much broader aspect to it as well, of course.
Well, let's it's really easy to get caught up in generalizations, right? Let's bring it back to you. Bring it back to you. So, how did the last 4 or 5 years affect you?
Well, I could just relate back to when we were first told that we couldn't go out, for example. Now, that's pretty well, people said, well, we're living in a free country, what's happening? You know, so.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a free spirit. And I thought, well, why? So people ask questions, and they must have asked questions, so why is this all happening?
And that's perfect. That's perfect, right? Because that's a perfect example of we're living a particular way of life, but it's kind of like things like that woke me up too and went, I don't think I like this. Have I got an option?
Well, for me, I would say that I take the bull by the horns, and I've done that all of my life. And I reviewed what was going on, and like so many people, we said, there's something wrong here. And that was in our gut. It was out there as well. And, of course, the obvious... the obvious loss of the rights that we thought we had...
We thought we were free, didn't we?
We did.
Let's leave it there for just a moment. All right.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay for. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be alone. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. Face when I'm with you, but I love it, but I love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. When we're deep in love, yes I know, yes I know, girl I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me.
Welcome back, everyone. That was The Weeknd with Can't Feel My Face. You're with Helen Taylor, and this is Inspired Radio, 11 till 12 every Monday. Thank you for joining us. We're having a conversation to change things, to change thinking, to change the world. That's my massive project. And I'm here with my friend Abraham, and we're talking about change in his world as well. So we finished off, we were just talking before, Abraham, about freedom, that we all kind of got locked down over the last 4 or 5 years in different times. And we all got to recognize that there wasn't as much freedom as we thought.
Well, exactly. And it's been a journey for me, like I think a lot of people, of what have we got in freedom in the country that we are told, you know, the land of the free and the lucky country. It's certainly not appeared that lucky over the last few years, and we're told lots of things which are very contrary to the truth that actually comes forward. What I found was I took a road of discovery about what our rights were, what the law was. And there's multiple laws, of course.
Oh, my God, I can already feel my brain cells melting, Abraham. It's, you know, it's a big task.
It is, and so many people have sort of, like myself, dove into the swimming pool, so to speak, and started to splash around and find out what was going on. And we've discovered so many things.
We discovered a lot of things, because I was one of them as well. I'd been researching for a long time too, and we discovered a lot of things about how this world works that nobody really, you know, has clear access to.
Well, that's the most important aspect you're talking about, is that we've had it hidden from us. There are many things that aren't in schools. So how can you base a wisdom base of the young people? Well, I'm saying young people, but I would suggest that all of my life there was a lack of truth that's been put into the education system.
Well, we're actually being a little bit vague here, aren't we? Because for people listening out there, they're kind of thinking, well, you know, what truths and what things? But, I mean, geez, people, we've only got just over half an hour here, and if we actually opened up that door, it would take a hell of a lot more. But what I can say in a nutshell is there's two layers to the systems that are working. That's probably the simplest way to look at it. Would you agree?
There's multiple layers, I would say.
Yeah, there's a layer that we all see and we all recognise and we're all taught about, but there's layers behind that that are not transparent.
Exactly. And one thing that we're not taught is we're not taught our rights. And this is in the fundamental rights that we're entitled to as human beings, and that different politicians have signed up to over the years, and they're doing everything.
When you say different politicians, sorry to butt in there, but you're saying they've signed up to different levels of rights for us.
They've agreed to the Bill of Rights that goes way back, and within our constitution we've got the Magna Carta, which underlays it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting into another 3 hours of conversation about the Constitution, which more to the point is we've got fundamental rights, inalienable rights as human beings. That we all are entitled to, and that the manufacture of statutes, and that's one layer of law, are trying to manoeuvre and take away from the people. And to a large degree, they've taken away those rights. And it's only when you try to exert your right that you discover that there are other people out there, public servants, who believe that you don't have the rights.
Well, that's only because they've been educated to something else, haven't they?
Well, I use the term brainwashed rather than educated.
That'll do. That'll do. Last week we spoke about programming. Now we're going to speak about brainwashing. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what essentially, in a couple of words, are our human rights?
We have a right to live a life where we can move freely, where we can practice just about anything we want under common law, as long as it doesn't harm other people or their property. So if you go back to basic common law, that's one level again. I mean, I said there were multiple levels.
Well, this is what people call God's law, just to give it a kind of concept, you know, that we're all living under natural law or God's law, where we just have the right to live the life that we want.
And
as you say too, not as long as we're not harming anybody else.
That's right. So the powers that be, the statute makers, have told us, well, you can't do that, you can't do that. And they're using those statutes to try and manipulate us, when the whole structure of statutes is to control the government, not the people. Now, if, you know, I've got onto that constitution again.
Yeah, but essentially what we're saying to people out there is, how free are you feeling these days, guys? How much freedom do you have in your choices and your way of life?
Women in the courtyard, children on their knees. Everybody knows them, no one is looking for me. Robbers on the highway, beggars in the street. Everyone is lonely, no one is
Helen Taylor here with Inspired Radio, and we're having a conversation here today about change. And change takes on many forms and heads down many roads. And I'm here with Abraham. And Abraham, we're talking about change and the changes that we've made in our lives and what we've recognised as well. So when we, before that song, and I should actually tell you, that was Mississippi Guys and that was Kings of the World. Such a beautiful song. Abraham, we were talking about freedom, but can we swing back around to wisdom?
Right.
You know, you were telling us a story about your dad, you know?
Yes, well, he gave that rendition of how wisdom is and how it's relative to your age and experience. And the perspective from the young man of 21 and...
You mean? You at 21?
Well, the story he told me was about a lad that was 17, and I was about 20 when he told me this little anecdote. And if you're full of your own...
Sorry about that, folks. I didn't push the button where we could hear Abraham, but we can hear him loud and clear now. Abraham, I'm so sorry about that.
All right.
Good. So let's just... everybody heard me saying we were going to talk about wisdom. So tell us your story from Dad about wisdom.
Okay. What we were saying before, I'll repeat the anecdote, is that when I was 17, speaking from a young man's perspective, I couldn't believe how ignorant my father was. And by the time I turned 21... I couldn't believe how much he'd learned in such a short time. So everything's in perspective to your experience, your maturity as you move through life. And the wisdom of a child can be carried right through. And, of course, because we're animal as well, we've got our natural animal instincts that actually could be considered wise to a degree, but they're instincts. They're not those things which are born upon experience and knowledge and actual practice. And what we were talking about earlier about freedoms, what you're told is, if you're told it enough, you'll believe it. This is what we are also...
Are we back to brainwashing again?
Yeah, we're back to the same thing, which again makes up what we believe is wisdom. So what we believe is true is the fundamental basis of what we believe and what we use to actually navigate through life. Now, if we believe that everybody else is better than us, then that's the way we'll go through life. If we realise that we are all independent, dare I say, autonomous individuals.
That, well, let me put it this way. We're all creating our own realities.
Yes. Mm. So if we turn our back on innate wisdom, which is within us, and believe what is dictated to us around us, then we will have the life that we have created for ourselves.
So wisdom comes through, like, you know, between 17 and 21, you went from thinking Dad was ignorant to all of a sudden he was a wise man. So you had a shift of some sort in those years, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That was a story, an anecdote. That was an anecdote that he told me, which made me think.
Right, gotcha. And that's what wisdom does. It just plants seeds.
Yes.
And right.
And then from there they either grow or they just lay waste and rot in the ground.
Yes, yes, yes. So tell me, let's just bring it back to our current world and where we live here in the eastern suburbs and in your life and my life. Is there a lot of wisdom out there?
There's a lot of wisdom to be found. There's a lot of wisdom to be found. If we keep listening to that which is outside of us and not within us, then we will live the life that's dictated to us from outside.
Now we're hitting another rabbit hole, aren't we? We're right at the door of, focusing on the outside world as opposed to focusing on the inside world. And that's not something that comes readily to people?
No. And so you have to want it, right? And that learning of knowledge, and which will perhaps turn into wisdom as you move along, will be in the way that you take your experiences and make them grow, and make them grow into your dreams or your imaginings of what you think life should be for you.
Yeah.
So...
And if you're focused on the outside world, then you're focused on what everybody else is telling you or what everybody else is thinking or projecting at you, as opposed to being within and listening to your own inner voice.
And realising that you have the capacity to actually change everything.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a real big one, right? Because that then says it takes people away from feeling powerless and having to be submissive to this world that we live in. Like, you know, we were talking about freedoms and what happened over the last few years. What I was remembering is how much and for how long Victoria has been called the nanny state, right? As more and more regulations and statutes and things came in, we were just being nannied. We were being, you know, told how to live, what to do, how to do it, and we were given the parameters on, you know, that limited us from the life that we wanted to live. But here, you and I are talking about now, if we don't tune into all of that and we tune back into ourselves, we can follow some inner guidance.
Yes, and that everybody has that. And so that comes to the word anarchy, which we were talking about earlier.
Okay, so let's come back to that in a minute. Okay. All right, okay.
In the beginning, God created heaven and earth for what it's worth. I think that he might have created you first, just my opinion. Nobody is the one paradise that I want to fly to every day and every night. I've been sick and tired of running, chasing all of the flashing lights. These late nights don't mean nothing, so I just want to apologize. I'm sorry, so sorry. I'm sorry, yeah. I need your love, and I'll tell you for the rush, 'cause my heart ain't got enough. I need your touch, this is getting serious. Tell me that it's not the end of us. How can we go back to the beginning? How can we go back to the beginning? Without you, no matter what's written, we can start all over again, all over again. Oh, how can I get you all over my skin? My deep intuition tells me that I'm doing you wrong if I don't come home. Just say you forgive me and don't let me go. I've been sick and tired of running, chasing all of the flashing lights. These late nights don't mean nothing, so I just wanna apologize. I'm sorry, so sorry. I'm sorry, yeah. I need your love, and I'm staying for the rush, 'cause my heart ain't got enough. I need your touch, is it getting serious? Tell me that it's not the end of us. How can we go back to the beginning? How can we go back to the beginning? Without you, you know, I roar like a lion. For you, you know I'll keep trying till the sun starts rising.
Hi, welcome back. You were listening to Dua Lipa and Genesis. You're here with Inspired Radio. I'm Helen Taylor and I'm here with my friend Abraham. Abraham's a bit like me. It's like, you know, you get to a certain age where you've got so much wisdom that we were talking about that has come through so many different experiences. We've got so much to share. And it's like, you know, out it all starts to come, and it comes out here and there, and we've got so many topics that we can talk about. So I'm just trying to keep us in line, because both of us can get totally out of control here, can't we, Abraham?
Yes.
So we finished up with the word anarchy. We were talking about freedom. We were talking about wisdom. So what has anarchy got to do with that?
Okay, let's break down anarchy. Anarchy is an, which means not, and arch means chief. What it means without a chief, the general expected use of that term is for something which is rebellious. But in fact, it means without chief. It means that you're the only chief when you actually look at the whole concept. So you have, everyone has a capacity to actually guide their own life. You do have that. We're told that we haven't. We have to do this and we have to do that. There's many things out there that we're told that we have to do, which are just other people trying to push us around.
Or push their own barrows.
And push their own barrow. Now, if that's hurting your freedom, if that's interfering with your capacity to actually express yourself, then you have to push your barrow as well.
And that's where anarchy comes in, because so much of the narrative out there tells us that if you and I wanted to push our own barrow, that turns into what we see on the news and in the media of people firebombing cars and shops and looting and all of that.
Well, that's to the extreme extent. That's to extreme rebelliousness with hatred. And we were talking about changing the world. The only way to bring about a world which is peaceful, harmonious and loving is to be peaceful, harmonious and loving.
I love it. Yes, I agree.
So you've got to respect yourself and love yourself and love the people around you, and then you'll have it. And I mean, you could even go to other different depictions of it.
But how much of that is out there in the world?
Well, there is a lot out there. And surprisingly, there are millions of people who are tuned into it. Some people talk about it in and use words like spiritualism, and others talk about good health and health in regard to body, mind and soul.
But we need more of it, don't we? More of self-love and more of love.
And caring. So knowing that we can actually help people through just thinking good of them, if you want to put it in a simple way. And then if you see someone that needs a hand, if you are able to give them a hand in some way, to help them on their journey, and it can be, doesn't matter what it is.
Mm. That's a big pill for some people to swallow, though, because I remember years and years ago when I was learning about this whole concept of forgiveness and self-love and things like that, I could line up a list of people that I couldn't do that with. I couldn't forgive, I couldn't be a part of that. So It is a big pill sometimes for people to swallow, but I think you and I are sitting here saying it's absolutely doable.
Yeah. And you're at the steering wheel. Everybody is at the steering wheel. You have the choice, and it's just a simple case of saying, I'm going to go that way. And it doesn't matter as long as you've got...
What way is that?
It doesn't matter which way it is. It's your choice.
But you're saying heading in a direction that you choose.
That you choose, mm. Yes. And if someone says, no, you've got to go back that way, well, you say, no, I'm going this way, for better or worse, because you really, what I've found is that as long as you're of good spirit and good heart...
And you can say that in a polite and a kind way, yeah.
Yes. You won't make enemies, because you won't hurt people and you won't hurt their property. And if you have gone the wrong way and you find the fords out and you can't get across the river, then you'll have to go back and go around the other way. But, you know, it's a beautiful day. enjoy it.
Yeah. And let's get back to that wisdom. Where's the wisdom in the world outside?
It's being stifled. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And I kind of thought that, you know, once upon a time when I started seeing retirement villages and then, you know, retirement homes and things like that, I'm like, some instinct in me said, why are we locking all the oldies up?
Yeah.
Why are we putting them all away? Because I remember a time where I really enjoyed speaking to my nan and my pop. I really wanted to know their lives and how they lived and their experiences, because when they shared that with me, it inspired me.
And I think we've been steered into a way of life that we have accepted what's been told, this is the way you need to live. You need to actually, you know, have three jobs in the household with two people to actually keep it. And that's not the case.
Mm.
There is a lot of the things that we're told in the world are just lies.
On how to live. Yeah, what's expected of us.
And how to live, and also the aspirations that I reflect on different things. Well, any sort of ad that's sort of trying to entice you into it, buying the product, is giving all of the dream of the people that are trying to sell it, that, you know, it might be good for you, it might not be.
Well, now we're talking about materialism and consumerism, right? And, you know, with age and with experience, we get to a point. And, hey, forgive me for saying oldies before people, but I am one of those oldies, right? It's like, I meant no disrespect, but, you know, you start to learn that being plugged into that materialism and that consumerism is not fulfilling.
Well, that's right. You can just have so many dust collectors in your house. That's right. You know, and lots of things.
Are you the one that does the dusting at home?
No comment.
Yes. So
we do consume things that we don't. We look at things and we're told, oh, that looks good. And go down another rabbit hole, like you say.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, why do I ever buy that? You know?
And let's come back to wisdom. I don't think that we should. I think, you know, we shouldn't get to a certain age where we're not needed anymore and we're not listened to and we don't have some sort of purpose. I'd love to see that. I worked in aged care for a number of years. I saw it from the inside out and I saw that it really was a machine. It was becoming a very big machine that was making a hell of a lot of money, and it wasn't always the best course of action for people and the way they wanted to live their lives out. So what can we do? You know, I saw that those people should be the ones that I don't know, a bunch of younger people sat around and said, tell me some stories about how we can cope with life and we can deal with life. Surely there's got to be a better way.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think there are a lot of people that are actually doing good work in that area as well. I can't pinpoint.
There's always good people, though. Always. It's the systems that I question, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the people making the money off those systems that I certainly question as well. That was why I started doing the public speaking, to point that out. And when I started pointing that out, I realised everybody else was thinking the same thing. They were thinking, we don't like all these systems and all this, you know, kind of corporate money-making, because people were kind of getting left out of the equation.
Yes, they were.
All right, we'll be back in a sec, guys.
Your voice has cradled me to sleep for 20 years or something. A friend that lives in the TV. Person with a drinking problem. You're just the man behind the screen.
It's me.
And and I was jealous that Joey was your romance. But in the real world, you just live by yourself. And by the time someone found you, it was too late. It got too much and you chose heaven over love. They called you, said to you, it's torment when the laughter ends. And all the publications speculated mostly rumors. Now they pretend to be your friends. And by the time someone found you, it was too late. It got too much and you chose heaven.
Everybody, Helen Taylor here in Inspired Radio. I'm sitting here having a really juicy conversation with Abraham. We've touched on a lot of different subjects about change. Let's get back to love. How much of it's out there in the world? Being expressed, I think, out there in the world.
Yes. How do you... Well, to start off with, you have to have empathy for other people. And so you have to look inside there, walk a mile in their shoes, so to speak. And so this means that you're giving
How did
them
you
yourself.
Learn? No, let me stop you there. How did you learn how to do that? I don't get to stump him very often, and I think I just did. How did you learn to walk in someone else's shoes?
Well, it's empathy. So,
let me just say something. This is how I did. I got thrown into situations that I felt merciless to, I had to surrender to. I found myself in situations where I was living a life that I didn't choose and I didn't understand, and I was living with people, like when I was doing the drugs and I was the drug dealer and those sorts of things, I had to walk in the shoes of others that were in that world. And I had to learn through experience to understand how I got there, how they got there. That was how I learned how to walk in someone else's shoes. By being thrown into situations and experiences where I had to learn. I didn't think I had a choice.
I think all of life is what that is. You know, it's like when you, from the time you first pop out, so to speak, you're thrown into this material world that we live in.
Yeah.
And everything that you actually experience is there as a learning platform. And it's to actually guide you back to love. And I mean, you could go right back to the inception of the actual child and right through its early life and dependence on its mother, and then the different factors that we mentioned earlier about experiencing what's hot and what's not to be involved with. But the complexity of our minds, of course, take us in different directions. And some of the very most basic things in what we're talking about in love is understanding what it is. And there's lots of things out there on social media and media that sort of say this is what love is. And most people have never, ever addressed that.
Difference does love make? What difference does love make in your life?
Okay, well, what I've come to with love is that I've realised that love is all-encompassing. So everything around you, and especially the people, if you're going to make a loving future, then you have to love them, everyone. And part of my religious background would also dictate that as well. That's sort of a philosophical way and the way you approach your life.
But tell me, what difference has it made? Can you compare what your life was without it and what it's like with it?
Well, I don't think I've... Well, there. I was going to say I don't think I've ever experienced not being with it. But I've always...
Well, I take my hat off to you.
I've always had an appreciation of a higher self, and people call it their creator or God.
Mm.
And I've always had a connection with that.
Mm.
All my life it's been there. And I think a lot of people, whilst not necessarily being religious, have an awareness of a higher self of themselves. And recognising that as we move through life.
Try telling that to an atheist.
Beg your pardon?
Try telling that to an atheist.
Oh, no, I've got a lot of friends who profess to be atheists, but they do have love for themselves and they do have love for others. So if they have love for others and love for themselves, then my perspective from the God I know is that they do know a God, whatever they want. But let me point out that the largest religion in Australia and many of the Western countries today is spelt with a G-O-V, and people believe that wholeheartedly.
Can you spell that out for some people, please?
Okay, government. So
it's a bit of a cult, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely got that side to it. Mm. And that was some of the other things I'm sort of reflecting back on what I learnt as far as knowing your own autonomy and the fact that you do have a capacity to actually make your world a better world by starting with yourself. So we've come back to how do we learn to love and what is love? And it's not a few minutes in the back of a car. It's something else. It's something much deeper, and it is something that brings us together and recognises that we are all part of the one. And through that, so it's really your own attitude.
Well, what I love is what I'm hearing from you is that you've had a life that has had a consistency of love and connection through it, no matter what. And I think that's just beautiful. And I take my hat off to you and others that have shared something very similar, because then there's other people like myself who have lived a life that has been far from that love and far from that source. But there's others like me who've made their way back to it, whatever that is for them. So I think that there's something really beautiful about what we're just saying right now. It's just letting people know that either you can live with it consistently or you can find it.
Yes. And people, if they don't look for that higher, I think it's, I call it higher, it's a higher level and understanding of love. So that's the wisdom of love.
That's a beautiful place to end off. Thank you, everybody, today for listening to us. I hope that we've inspired you. We've got you thinking about some things that are just helping you to consider change. We've got Scott Stacey coming up next with business, so get ready for that after the news. And we'd love to see you here again. I'm Helen Taylor. This is Inspired Radio. See you next Monday.